I'm sure we all have heard the saying, you are what you eat. I wonder if that's true, that saying, that phrase, you are what you eat. When we think about food, when we think about having dinner as a family, how important is that? How does that impact each family member when a family takes the time to sit down and have a good meal together? How does that affect every person in that family? Well, I did a little research. I wanted the Lord to kind of help me along to understand the answer to that question. And so this is what I found. They said, based on scientific study, there's 9 effects of family having dinners together. Number 1, family dinners mean better family relationships. Number 2, family meals lead to healthier food choices. Number 3, eating as a family leads to better grades for the children. Studies have proven that there's a significant link between family dinners and academic performance. A report by the CASA found that teens who have between 5 and 7 family dinners per week were twice as likely to report receiving mostly A's and B's in school compared to those teens who have fewer than 3 family dinners per week. In addition, only 9% of teens who ate frequently with their families did poorly in school. Number 5, family dinners lead to greater happiness. They say that 5,000 teenagers has shown that when children eat with their parents regularly, they're more likely to be emotionally strong and have better mental health. Number 6, homemade meals promote portion control. Number 7, family dinners equal healthy kids. Number 8, family dinners relieve stress. And number 9, eating at home saves money. Now, it's kind of ironic, I'm talking about all these 9 benefits and I myself don't know how to cook. But nevertheless, I wanted to proclaim what the Lord kind of revealed to me, to give us a context, an understanding of the gospel passage we just heard. When we see that our Lord is talking about that he is the vine, the Father is the vine grower, and we are the branches. So what were the disciples? If you were there, right there, when our Lord was talking about this, when he's talking about this to his disciples, what were they thinking? What were they thinking in their minds as they heard our Lord say these words, preaching to them? What was the context of the Passover? So our Lord is talking about this, revealing to them in the context of the Passover. And the apostles and all these first century Jews, whenever they would go to the Holy Temple, on top of the temple, they would see these vines plated in gold. All these vines on the top of the temple. And they would have a cluster of grapes that's plated in gold. And this cluster of grapes was so large that it would be as large as an individual, a person, a man. It was extremely large. And it kind of harkens back to Joshua. You know, when the Israelites were going to go to the promised land, God promised them that there was going to be plenty of milk and honey, and the vines had fruit that were extremely large. You know, it shows fruitfulness, shows prosperity. So it harkens back to that. So they saw that image of the vine plated in gold and the grapes. They saw that every time they went to worship God, they saw that image right there. And the Lord takes that image and he says, he is the vine. He shows that you know, ornament that's plated in gold, he is the vine. And we are the branches, right? And we're called to bear fruit. We're called to bear fruit. It makes me think about when I was a young man, like Joshua. I was in my home parish at St. Francis de Sales. And I remember when I was coming into the faith, and I didn't know a lot about the faith, but the Lord revealed to me in stages my church family at St. Francis de Sales. And so I would go to the Legion of Mary meeting, and me praying the rosary with them kind of helped me to persevere in praying the rosary. But they not only did pray the rosary together, and we read from the handbook, but we did works. We had to bear fruit. So what we would do was we would go to our nursing home that was about 2 blocks away from the church. And I remember going to the nursing home with another Legion of Mary member and kind of learn from her of what I needed to do to minister to the people of God in a nursing home. And when we went to the nursing home, we didn't minister just to Catholics or Christians. We knocked on every single door to bring Christ to every single person in that facility. And I remember I went to this room, and there was this elderly lady. She was very discouraged. You know, she was full of fear and anxiety. And she said to me that she thought to herself that God didn't love her, that somehow her sins are coming to fruition now, that she felt like she was being punished by God, that somehow God did not love her, he rejected her, none of our family or friends would visit her. More often than not, we were the only people that these individuals saw in this institution. So many times I heard family members were not willing to visit the elders. You know, the elders were kind of forgotten. And so this elderly lady, she said, this is how she felt. And I thought to myself, you know, what does the Lord want me to do to help her? I knew I wasn't a priest. I couldn't give her the sacraments of anointing and we weren't really giving Holy Communion. It was the priest who would come and bring Holy Communion. I thought, what can I do? I'm not a priest right now. I can't give her Holy Communion. I thought, what does the Lord want me to do? And I thought about it, and the Holy Spirit inspired me to give her a little cross. And on that cross was an image of Jesus crucified. And I said to her, you know, when you look at this cross, we see Jesus there. And he's abandoned, just like you. He's rejected, just like you. No one is really with him other than his mother and some of his disciples. But he feels that fear, the anxiety, that fear and experience of rejection, even though he loved so much. But we see that he is not guilty. He is innocent. But he's treated like a criminal. And I said, look at yourself on that cross, that you're on that cross like our Lord is. And so the Holy Spirit kind of inspired me to say this, and I gave her the cross. And then I met her the next following week. And the next week, she was filled with joy. She had all these coloring that she did with these butterflies and images. And she would say, look at all what I've been doing. She wanted to show to me. And she said, I'm so happy now. She said she felt the Lord was with her, that the Lord loved her. Yeah. And so she went from being in despair to rejoicing. Okay. And who did that? It wasn't me. No. It was the Lord. Yes. Yes. The Lord can use any of us to bring joy to anyone whom we meet. Yes. We can bear fruit. Because remember, I said I wasn't a priest. All I did was allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what she needed to hear. Not what I wanted to say, but what she needed to hear. And the Holy Spirit will always guide us along to be his instrument of peace, of joy. You know, when we look at the news, we see that we're being fed so many times fear, anxiety, instability, violence, so much injustice and evil. We see our brothers and sisters, you know, having hate for each other, you know, committing murder. There's so much disunity we see in our country, in the world. So many people of humanity experiencing suffering, and we're doing it to each other. We see that, right? We see that. And why is that the case? We realize that our Lord said to the apostles, to the disciples, to you and me, He said, remain in me. Remain in me. And He said that if we don't remain in Him, what can we do? Nothing. You know, when we think to ourselves, like, wait a minute, you know, we naturally think, like, well, there's some things I can do for the Lord. You know, I have this talent, I have that talent. I'm kind of good at this or that. We think to ourselves, like, well, I have some abilities. I have some traits that I can offer. And then, you know, maybe the Lord kind of just multiplies that. He kind of makes it be perfected or make it better. But our Lord didn't say that. He said, without me, you can do nothing. The word nothing. The apostles heard our Lord said this. And they must have not fully understood at that point. But our Lord was very, very serious when He said that. He said, without me, you can do nothing. When we think about food, you know, what we put in is what we get out. Our Lord reveals Himself as the whole Eucharist. He says that He is the bread that comes down from heaven. If you do not eat of this bread, you will have no life in you. No life in you. Our Lord was very serious that He's saying that you have to consume me, my presence. You have to consume my presence in the Word, sacred scriptures, and in the whole Eucharist. But we also consume His presence in a real way through each other. Jesus reveals Himself to us through each other. We bring Jesus, real presence, to each other. And so after we consume, then we reveal, then we offer Him to each other. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. That is the good fruit. The good fruit is the sacred heart of Christ. The heart of Christ is the good fruit. The Immaculate Heart of Mary is the good fruit. The chaste heart of Saint Joseph is the good fruit. The Lord wants to dwell within our heart, not in a gold-plated tabernacle, not in a gold-plated ciborium. That gold-plated ciborium, the gold chalice, it's not a living member of the body of Christ. It is not made in image and likeness of God, right? So that's not His desire. Our Heavenly Father wants us to remain in His Son. And through His Son and the Holy Spirit, we nourish each other with Jesus, right? Give me Jesus. So that is what the Lord is calling us to do. He's calling us to continue to consume Christ. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, it rejoices our Lord to see you here consume the body and blood of Christ. Because then you're able to truly do what we're called to do. To then receive Christ, reveal Christ, and give Christ. Wherever we are in our vocation, whether you're married, whether you're religious, whether you're a priest, whether you're a deacon, no matter where your vocation is, wherever you are, as you are, the Lord is calling us to bear fruit. Because the world is hungering. They're hungering for Christ. We know that the world wants to consume Jesus. Because the Father spoke only one word, and that is Jesus. That's the only eternal word He spoke. When we were crying for mercy, for help, He spoke but one word, and that's the Lord. And we realize, what is this good food that we need to nourish our souls? To nourish our souls. You know, when we think about food for our eyes, you know, what I love is that, you know, we see that as a church family, we're all working together. You know, we're all working together to give and reveal Christ. And, you know, when we take care of things, we show that expression of faith. You know, I know Kathy Waters, she's out there with Deacon making all these flowers look beautiful in our church, you know, around of our church right here. You know, we see so many beautiful flowers, and it takes work, right? It takes time to water, to plant. You know, to do that, it takes effort. But that's the beauty we see that gives nourishment for our eyes. We see that when we look at God's, this is our church, right? This is our church family. We take care of not only our soul, but our church as an infrastructure, right? You know, we do that. And I remember so many times when it was raining, pouring rain, and, you know, we would have rain in the church hall, and I would call Deacon, and he would come right over, and we would use the vacuum to vacuum all the water inside the church hall. You know, we're doing things as a church family to give out food to the community. You know, Melody is helping, you know, in that initiative. We're doing things to feed our community, to feed them with the presence of Christ. Yes, we feed with food, with plants, things that are visible, right? We do that, but we do the visible in order to be an instrument of the invisible, which is Christ. So we all use our hands, our feet, whatever we're able to do to make Christ present through our faith by first receiving, revealing, and then giving. Now, because we don't want to keep Jesus to ourselves. We don't want to say that we know the Lord, but we don't want to reveal the Lord. But we don't want to serve others with his presence. We don't want to give Jesus to others. But that's not what we're called to do. To keep him to ourselves, as if he doesn't belong to the world. The Lord wants to belong to our church family, and through the church, to offer himself to the world. And so that's how he's calling us to do. We are called to allow the Father to prune us. You know, the process of pruning is part of it. So how do we prune? How do we allow the Father to prune us? The way we do that is we go to confession. You know, maybe I've said it before, but I will never stop saying it again, because the gospel never stops saying again. The Lord never stops saying. We are always falling to sin. You know, so through confession, we allow the Father to prune us, because everything in us is not good. There's things in us that are sinful, and the Lord wants us to be pruned. So you take off that which is bad, just as we do it when a plant. A plant needs to be pruned in order to bear fruit. And it's for a plant, it's so for us. So we are God's plants, and the Lord is a vine. We are the branches. So whenever we're pruned, when we go to confession, we are being pruned. We don't want to forget that process of pruning. We allow the Lord to cleanse us with his precious blood. The blood of Christ is the only thing that cleanses our soul to be pruned from sin. And so that pruning is going to confession. That pruning is what we did at Mass. And we said, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. When we heard the Kyrie sung, that's what you just pray. That's what you just said. We're asking the Lord to have mercy. Because when we look at our soul, how do we compare our soul? Do we compare it to each other? Like, well, you know, this person needs a lot more pruning than I do. Or that person made me. Well, how do we know, like, what's the criteria of how much pruning we need? Does your soul look like Christ? Does my soul look like Christ? Does your soul? That's the criteria. Does our soul look like Christ? Christ had a soul. We would call ourselves Christians. Does our soul look like Christ? So that's the degree. How much pruning? To the degree that it looks like Christ. That's why we go to confession. That's why we confess our sins. That's why we realize that we need to be pruned, because our soul is always in need of pruning to look like Christ. Because our Lord came down from heaven. Our Father gave Christ as a gift to us. He said he is the vine. If we want to remain in him, then we have to allow the Father to prune us. That's part of the stipulation of remaining in him. They're pruning. So when we are pruned and we receive Christ, reveal Christ, then through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to offer Christ to each other and the world.